Welcome back to the Boys of Winter podcast. As always, I'm Owen Krebs, joined by Levi Hutchinson, and I hate Brad Marchand.
Yeah. Sucks. He's the rat.
Yeah. The Penguins just coming off a decent week. The Oilers loss was acceptable, if you will. We whooped the Flyers 7-1. But last night, the Penguins just made a phenomenal comeback in the second period against Boston. And Torrey Krug got a beautiful pass from Brad Marchand, tied it up, okay. But then Brad Marchand just slipped one in past Tristan Jarry, who came in for Murray. And they won in regulation. I was thinking, like, when we came back and at least we got the lead 4-3 in that game, I was, can we at least get 1 point out of this? And even Sullivan said, this was the best game we played all year.
No.
Did you watch it?
No.
It was a very good game by the Penguins. The first period was awful. We played awful in the first period.
Well, for Sully to say it's the best game they played all year, I would expect them to play great 60 minutes. Great 60 minutes.
He said that was some of the best hockey. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said it was some of the best hockey we played, and we deserved to win. And I agreed with him.
That's also an example of whenever, like, I don't know if I would have pulled Murray. I saw the first two goals, but, like.
The first one was bad.
I saw that one live. I was watching
that one. That one was bad.
But, like, I'm not just sounding like a Murray, like, you know.
Defender.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is I felt like three goals in, like, 25 minutes of hockey is nothing to really pull your goalie.
I mean, look what happened in the Flyers game. They didn't pull Elliott until the third period after 11 six goals.
But here's the thing, though. This is a time where doing that really worked, though, because sometimes you pull the goalie not because they suck, but just to give your team.
Yeah,
like,
just to give your team.
To be like, hey, guys, you guys need to play better. But it worked out.
It did. It worked.
I think I would have waited one more goal to take out Murray, but it ended up working out, so.
Yeah. But we're going to recap the entire week. We'll go back to the game that we were actually at, my first ever Penguins-Flyers game.
A week ago today.
Yeah, that was very fun, if you will, considering we scored 7 goals on the Flyers and chased Brian Elliott and put up one against Carter.
That goal by Cahoon with 6 seconds left.
Yes, that was
speaking of, I mean, Cahoon's been doing really well.
I know, he was scratched.
I feel like right whenever you were like, he needs to start, like,
I know, yeah,
playing better.
Hopefully the other player, that I'm going to call out later in the podcast, I hope he can have the same thing.
But yeah, it was a good game.
7-1 win. Michael Greco.
He'll come on the show.
I just texted him, like, you should FaceTime in the show. Me and Levi was there. Mason was not because he had to study. But it was a 7-1 win. Galchenyuk and Dumoulin returned. Dumoulin was never hurt, and we finally learned what was going on with him, and it's that he had a baby. So congrats to Dumo.
All right, dude, congrats.
I know, a bunch of people, no, I know, in the broadcast. No, I agree. In the broadcast, like, they were, like, mentioning that, like, every 5 seconds. It's like, oh, Dumoulin's a dad. You know Dumoulin's a dad, right? Yep, we know.
Yeah, I've
happens, like, a lot of times with, like, just players. Okay, yep.
Congrats to Dumoulin.
Honestly,
I didn't watch the game, though, like, at all. I listened to the radio in the last few minutes.
Yeah, you have night class, so yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I watched the part of the first period. Like, I saw the DeBrusk goal live. Yeah,
that was a bad one.
Mm-hmm. I heard something about Bjugstad. Like, I remember whatever he did, like, Getzoff and Bork was like, that is horrible. Like, he's probably going to, no, I can't even say it, but, like, that was a dirty play by Bjugstad. So.
Oh, really? I don't remember. Anyways, back to the Flyers game. Dominic Simone, another player that I've called out in the past saying, maybe he needs to do just a little bit better. And I've on the record said I don't think he's a first-line player, and he's definitely proving me wrong here. He had a phenomenal game against the Flyers. And if he keeps playing like this, I think he's a good option on the first line. I still think McCann's the best option there. But if we trade Bjugstad, McCann's a perfect third-line center, and I'm perfectly fine with
Simone is the definition of a two-way forward.
Yeah.
Playmaker. Well, I wouldn't even say playmaker. I mean, he can set up some really good plays. He's just a very –
he's just a good player.
I'm not even going to say because you'll think I'm ridiculous.
What?
I was going to say he's like a Patrice Bergeron that can't score, but that's not really a
good comparison. He's like a Pascal Dupuis.
Yeah.
Who
– Dupuis had a good shot, though, sometimes.
Yeah, Simone has a good shot, too, but, like, I don't know. There's a bunch of scenarios where he just can't shoot the puck as well as other players can, but he makes up for it with his passing. And
defensive play.
He's had solid defensive play. He'll probably be second power play unit type guy, first line right winger. So I'm more than happy with what Simone's doing. I just think McCann's more talented. But I like McCann as our third line center when Bukestad hopefully slash maybe gets traded. But that's down the road. Elliott was awful. Hart got pulled. 7-1-1 for the Flyers. Moving on to the Oilers, I wasn't able to watch this game. I was at work. 2-1 overtime loss. I watched the overtime.
I didn't watch.
Yeah. If you go to overtime with the Oilers, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got the notification that that the game was going to overtime, so I pulled up the stream and I watched it. It was a really, really entertaining overtime.
I rewatched it. I saw Letang had a good chance. Mm-hmm. If you go to the overtime with the Oilers, you're not going to win, especially with McDavid and Draisaitl. And they always just tear it up in overtime. And Draisaitl scored the overtime winner. Mason and Morgan were there for this one.
Yeah. I missed it. This is my first Penguins Oilers game I missed in a while, because usually I try to go see McDavid if I can.
Yeah.
Like, the Crosby McDavid games were always just really good. Like, 2 years ago, Kessel scored in overtime. That was a really good overtime because the Oilers had so many good chances. And then last year was the one where McDavid was stopped by Murray on the penalty shot. Mm-hmm. And then, but this game looked great. Like, if I would have went, I would not have left that game. I mean, like, that was crap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I would have been like, good game, Dumoulin. That was a nice goal.
Yeah, it was a nice goal. Yeah, you know, he's a dad.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he had a kid.
No way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're lying.
Oh. Evgeny Malkin, he returned in this game. He had some good looks, but Mike Smith, dude, he was absolutely, he had 51 saves. 51 saves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, I didn't watch the game. So, like, when I just saw that set, I'm like, all right, I'm out at the Penguins right now.
Mm-hmm.
When you only score one goal, that's a shorthanded goal by Brian Dumoulin.
I saw that. I was like, how is, like, it's, if you ever see Dumoulin score, you're probably going to be like, what the heck?
And then again,
but and it's, being it's a shorthanded goal. I'm like, why is Dumoulin playing up on a penalty kill?
It was crazy. So, yeah, I take this as an acceptable loss. The only thing I didn't really like was that Dominic Cahoon was a healthy scratch in favor for Zach Hassenreese. But Hornquist was hurt in this one, so he comes out of the lineup, and we move on to the Boston game, which we mentioned.
Hornquist contract.
Yeah.
I feel like people – okay, I love Hornquist. He's done so many great things for us, but people hate on the Jack Johnson contract.
The contract's bad.
What?
The Hornquist contract is bad.
But we have one that's probably worse. It's not worse, but it's – Hornquist,
almost equivalent.
Hornquist was out for a lot of games last year for getting paid like $5.5 million.
$5.3 million.
And it sounds like he's going to be out long term.
It says he says he's going to be out long term is what the team announced, but they did not place him on LTIR, which means we don't know. Like, that means he probably won't miss 10 games, or I forget how many days. It's like 22 days or something like that.
Yeah.
Hornquist has 4 years left on his deal. He is already 32 years of age, and we've mentioned before here on the podcast that he's a power forward, and those tend to age really quickly. Mm-hmm. Guys like Pat Maroon are getting paid $5.3 million. Some of them aren't even in the league anymore. It was kind of risky when the deal was signed. He's already 32.
It was coming off of, I mean, I understand it. It's kind of like what the Blackhawks did when you win the Stanley Cup a bunch of times. You want to, like, preserve that team.
And reward your players, yeah.
Yeah, and then, it's unfortunate.
Hornquist is absolutely an essential part of this team. I just don't think he's worth $5.3 million. I would give him around $1 or $2 million for less years. But I don't know.
Realistic contract should have been, like, about $3.5 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I'm just saying for, like, a one-year deal or something like that. I don't think he's getting traded anytime soon. Yeah, and he has a no-trade clause, which is also – it kind of sucks. And we also love him. He's a great guy.
He's the type of guy that would, like, not waive his trade clause. I feel like he wants to stay here much. Like, that's the reason
he's now spent more years in Pittsburgh than he has in Nashville. And he's had a pretty long career so far. Like, I believe he's up to, like, past, like, 10 years now.
I think he made his debut in, like, 2008, 2009.
Yeah. So – we love you, Hornquist, but, dude, the deal is kind of looking bad, especially if you're going to get hurt every time and not score 25, 30 goals. He's not
pretty good stats this year.
Yeah, he has decent. He's been great. He's a power play specialist for us, but I just don't think he's worth that money. Hornquist goes out in the 6-4 loss.
Yeah, I mean, 10 points in 14 games. I mean, that's what makes us.
How many goals did you have?
5.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah,
how many power play goals do you have? Are they all on the power play?
One.
He only has one power play goal?
Mm-hmm, one power play
goal. Oh, really?
But he has 2 power play points.
Okay.
But hey, 10 points is in 14 games is a decent.
Yeah, number. But you gotta take it with a grain of salt. Though the Penguins have scored how many 7-goal games?
Yeah,
and
so he could have more.
Yeah, or he could have like less if you were just gonna win those games like 3-1, 3-2, or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hornquist comes out of the lineup for the 6-4 loss to Boston. It was essentially 6-5 loss with a 1 empty netter. Cahoon goes back in for him and he scores. I really liked who scored in this game: Cahoon, Rust, Nick Bjugstad. All players that are depth. I always love it when the depth steps up.
I did see the Rust goal.
It was a partial breakaway, and Malkin made a beautiful
pass.
Oh,
yes, I did see that. That pass was insane.
Rust and Bjugstad had breakaway-type.
Yeah, I saw the Bjugstad one. That was nice.
And the best player that had the best breakaway chance, John Marino. I was flipping out when I saw this goal. And
you know who else was flipping out? Yaroslav Halak.
Yaroslav Halak. He was flipping out. Oh, my gosh. Did you see what the Penguins did on Twitter?
Yes. Yeah. They went to the reply.
Went to the reply of the 2016 Henrik Lundqvist mad and...
Yeah, I'm sure that, I remember that game was amazing.
Oh, me too. I love
it. I'm trying to think if I watched that game live or not.
I did.
I know I had baseball practice that night, and I'm wondering if I got home in time to watch that. I think I did.
Yeah.
At least I watched the – like, they scored, like, 3 or 4 goals in the second period mm-hmm. or something like that, and I got there for, like, the last two, and yeah, that was a good time.
Monk was throwing the net.
That was during the best regular season the Penguins have had since 2013.
Yeah.
That amazing second half – like
after Malkin got hurt, yeah.
That was amazing. That was the most fun I've ever had watching regular season hockey. It was just, like, every single game, not only were we winning, we were crushing teams. Mm-hmm. And the moment I realized this is just how it is was, I remember we played the Capitals, and the Capitals really, they won the President's Trophy that year. And we had them for, like, Sunday night hockey. And I was nervous all day for it, and we destroyed them, like, 6-2. Really? Kunockel mm-hmm. had 2 goals.
Nice.
Or he may not have 2, but he had, one, like, a really nice one. No, mm-hmm. Daly had a goal, I think. I know he did. It was a really good game.
Yeah.
Crosby, we just, like, crushed them, and I was like,
wow. Yeah, that's when the Penguins started to turn the corner there and become the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. I really loved that, the Lundqvist moment, because that was when we officially broke him. Like, we lost him in the playoffs a couple times, and we started to grow this hatred of him, and then he just broke.
Yeah.
Just like Yaro Halak did in the Boston game. The thing I don't like, though, about Marino's goal is that he didn't get a win with it. It was a phenomenal first NHL goal. He looked like a forward out there. He came out of the box and went on the backhand. 5-hole, and like we said earlier, Sullivan said this was one of the best games we played all year, and it really was. The second period, they played so good. 4 goals in the second period after being down 3-0 to go up 4-3. It was crazy.
Kunockel had 1 goal.
He had 1 goal.
But it was the game-winning goal. But he had 3 points in the game.
Nice.
Daly had 3 points.
All right. I mean, he's an all-star.
So. Matt Cullen had 3 points.
Yeah, all-star players
2 points for Cullen. That was okay. Anyway. Marino is here to stay, for sure.
Yeah, Marino is definitely here to stay, especially with Gabranson gone. Ruedel's and Recole aren't going
to
take
it. If Marino turns out to be anything, he already has. Like, if he turns out to be anything of substance, what a trade!
Yeah, and I remember, like, I actually looked up because I was going to play it before we talked about this, and that was if the Penguins were win. I looked up the episode where we talked about all the Penguins offseason trades and listened to our thoughts on John Marino, and I specifically said, I'm like, well, the last trade that Jim Rutherford made for a young defenseman was a head scratcher was Daniel Sprong for Marcus Pedersen, and that worked out
very well.
So I was like, I remember saying, I was like, well, if he can do it again, then go for it.
Yeah.
And he did, and John Marino was phenomenal for 6th rounder. I think it was either 5th or 6th rounder.
I want to say it was 5th.
I think it was a 6th. I don't remember.
It could be 6th though. Yeah, but what a trade.
But yeah, what a trade already. And I remember I saw on his Twitter, like, no one expected him to be this good yet, even himself, because, like, he got tagged in, like, the Twitter after he scored on, like, Twitter, and I, like, went to go follow him, and it said Penguins prospect within the organization because he hasn't updated it.
Yeah.
And he's on the team now. He should change that to I just made Yaro Halak flip out or something like that. Alex Galchenyuk. Where is he?
Is that the player you're going to call out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Is he on the team?
You know, it sucks.
I know he's hurt, and I know he's Spider-Man.
This is good for contract reasons.
Yeah, for contract, but do we even want to re-sign him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean...
He hasn't even scored a goal yet.
It depends on how much money
he's been hurt. I know he's been hurt.
No goals yet.
How many, dude, I wonder how many he looks decent on the preseason, but yeah. I have not seen a thing out of, like, not even a good chance. I think he had, like, a chance last night where he missed the net on, like, a backhander, but I have not seen a thing out of Alex Galchenyuk. And I've seen, like, Malkin has been phenomenal, mm-hmm. and he's playing on the line with Malkin. Tanev has been better, and he's playing on the fourth line. Let's see. He has 0 goals, 3 assists. He's a -3 so far in 6 games.
Ouch. Only 6 games, though.
15 shots.
Only 6 games, though.
Shot percentage is 0%, of course. I don't know, man. He was, what, third overall pick in 2012 or something like that?
Third overall pick in 2012.
Yeah.
First was, the biggest bust in NHL history.
Possibly.
Number one.
Neil Yakupov, and I don't know.
It's close. Oh, well, no. It's Patrick Stefan.
Patrick Stefan's pretty bad.
There's a lot of busts, but I would definitely think that Yakupov is near the top.
Mario Lemieux.
Yeah, oh, bust.
But I don't know. Like, the Penguins have had, like, a bunch of, like, top. And it's weird because, like, a bunch of, like, top 5 players have been on the Penguins, like, in terms of drafting over the past few years. Kessel, Johnson, Gabranson, Galchenyuk, and of course Malkin, Crosby. I don't know. It's just kind of weird how that works out.
You know, like, what makes it feel a little bit better, though?
What?
That it's like, it's kind of tough that that Galchenyuk only has 0 points, has like 0 goals. Mm-hmm. Kessel only has 3. So it's not. Yeah. It would feel a lot worse if Kessel was out there.
Kessel was tearing it up.
Yeah, he's got 9 points in 14 games, but 3 goals. I guess I thought for the longest time I thought he only had 2. He must have just scored, like, a few nights ago. I'll look it up real fast. I'll see his goal.
But, yeah, the main consensus, like, everyone was thinking that Alex Galchenyuk was going to at least score 15, 20 goals here with the Penguins.
That could still happen.
It absolutely could still happen. He has to show something. His highest goal scoring year was 15, 16. 30 goals. That was with the Canadiens, and they cannot score. They still can't score. They couldn't score back then. He's playing with Malkin now. You're not going to play him with Crosby because...
Well, Malkin's also been out, too.
Yeah. You can contribute this to injuries because... But still, like, if you're hurt, don't play.
Yeah.
If you're not 100%, don't play, especially in a contract year. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think Galchenyuk either needs to get out of the lineup and rest up and get the Spider-Man infection, like,
yeah,
off, or just... Start scoring some goals, man. I don't know what's happening with Hornquist out and what the top power play unit's going to look like. Mm-hmm. It was Gensel, Crosby, Malkin, Schultz, Letang. I wouldn't mind seeing Malkin move back to the point and Galchenyuk play wing on the top unit because he needs to do something. Like, he still hasn't scored his first goal as a Penguin yet. And I know it's been 6 games, but still. Like,
that Kessel goal was really nice.
When did his first is with Arizona?
The one he just, like, because I know he had 2 goals in 1 game. Scored first 2, and then I always like check, and he only had 2. He scored Saturday night, mm-hmm. and it was just really nice. And what were you gonna ask?
What game was it that Kessel scored? I know it was the Arizona game, but do you remember like what game of the season it was? It had to be like first 3 or something, because he's never been hurt.
Kessel this year?
No, when he joined the Penguins.
Oh, he scored his second game.
In his second game.
Yeah, because the Penguins got shut out the first game against Dallas. Because the season before, I had just put up with so many horrible Penguins, like, 1-0 losses, 2-1 losses. I was like, all right, we're going to go out, and we're just going to, like, crush the Stars, and then they get shut out. And then the next game, I was like, come on, I just want to see a goal. And Kessel sniped it. It was so nice.
Nice. So, but, yeah, it was the second game. And I'm not saying that Galchenyuk is equivalent to Kessel, but he's the player, he's the roster player that we got back in that deal. Can we at least get something out of him?
Yeah.
I'd love for him to score here against the Islanders.
That defenseman might be our best acquisition.
Pierre Oliver Joseph?
Yeah, he might be the best one in the trade.
No, Dane Burke's definitely.
Oh, yeah. Getting
rid of his contract.
I'm sure that had to happen for, like, reasons for the trade to go through, but it's funny, like, the Penguins and the Coyotes are like, we're not going to accept this trade, and then they're like, we'll throw in Dane Burke's. Okay.
Well, it was probably because Dane Burke's was a minor league defenseman.
Yeah, we probably needed the roster spot.
They needed the roster spot. Yeah. And then... like we said, Alex Galchenyuk. I don't know what's going on with him. Is a trade happening soon?
No.
I don't know. For some reason, I can't see, like, just turning on the, like, or going on Twitter right now and seeing Penguins make a trade.
It's been rumored. Well, I guess I don't even know if it's rumored that it's more of just the fans wanting Bjugstad out, and
he's got. There's got to be a scapegoat.
There does. There's always a scapegoat.
I don't know why, but
the Johnson trade speculation is always continuously happening. But Bjugstad is currently the Penguins' scapegoat because he has the sort of ugly contract, $4.1 million as a third line center.
This year and then next year.
And Jared McCann has proved that he can be a viable third line center. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mind trading Bjugstad, but I don't see the point in doing it right now.
I think
the team is perfectly fine right now, especially with Hornquist out now. You need those roster places. You would have to call up Lafferty if you made a trade, which is another thing that happened. Sam Lafferty got sent down. But I think that was inevitable. We all knew that was going to happen. But I do have a trade proposal that I want to give. And I'm not saying this happens right now. I'm saying it happens when possibly the team is fully healthy. I put this on Armchair GM on Cat Friendly, and actually people liked it, which is crazy because usually when you go on Armchair GM and you suggest anything, everyone just shoots it down in the comments because everyone on that website are jerks. But my trade proposal is, did you look at it already?
Is it in the, is like...
Okay, I'll read it off to you. You'll be Jim Rutherford. I'll be Calgary. Okay, who's Calgary's GM?
No idea.
Isn't it like Doug Wilson or something? He's Anaheim. Whatever. I'll be Mr. Calgary. I would like to trade TJ Brody and a fourth round pick in exchange for Nick Bjugstad and Juuso Rikola. Do you say yes, Jim Rutherford?
Brody has a good amount of trade value.
He does.
But Bjugstad. Calgary could use that center.
Exactly.
Because, that's what I was thinking. I mean, they have Derek Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like, as in a fourth for, you know, that's a pretty good trade. I don't know Brody's cap.
They're both almost identical. Brody is 4.6.
For how long? 2 years?
1 year.
Okay, so it'd be kind of like, it'd just be like a.
I have Brody paired up with Schultz here, so that's going to be.
Just, yeah.
And then Pettersson, Marino. Together,
I don't know. I feel like we might. I feel like we could get away with doing that without giving up Rikola.
Just Bjugstad.
Bjugstad.
Bjugstad for Brody, just straight up.
I feel like that could work as a one for one. Really? If not,
I was thinking. I was thinking throwing Rikola because maybe they need a defenseman back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They just. Who was it? It was Michael Stone or something like that that they bought out, and then they were like, "Oh crap, we need a defenseman," so they signed him again.
That's funny.
To league minimum. And then they signed Andrew McDonald to a PTO.
Yeah.
So, like, that told me, maybe Calgary needs some defense. So
maybe
I feel
they
like
just bought him out. Like, they had no intentions of getting rid of him. They
maybe.
Because like, that's what the Capitals did with Brooks Orpik.
But, yeah, they also – but they did give Andrew McDonald a professional tryout.
Yeah, so that just shows how desperate
they are. That shows they're a little desperate for –
yeah.
For defensemen. So, I think Juuso Rikola. I don't want Juuso Rikola to ever leave Pittsburgh, but Bjugstad for Brody. I don't know. Hypothetical trade I made on Cap Friendly. Going to happen, likely. But the Penguins, as of right now, they're 8-6-1 or 8-7-1. I needed to update that. But we're sort of struggling in terms of just our record. The Metro's a tough division, but New Jersey, New York Rangers, Philadelphia aren't as good as we thought they were going to be before the season started.
I had no expectations for the Rangers or the Rangers or the Devils. I did think the Flyers were going to be better. But
yeah,
they are not doing well at all.
The New York Islanders, they were on an 8-game winning streak or something like that.
I think it's 9 now.
It might be 9. Guess who we play next? The New York Islanders.
Is it in New York?
It's in New York.
Nassau Coliseum?
It's in Nassau Coliseum. Currently the Metropolitan standings, Washington has 25 points. They're 11-2-3. Islanders are 10-3-0. 20 points. Carolina is 9-4-1, and then we are 8-6-1 for 17 points. So Carolina is, I feel like, we sort of knew this was going to happen, that Carolina was going to establish himself as an actual team this year, not just a, hey, we're going to sneak into the playoffs and then go all the way to the Eastern Conference Final again. I think they're definitely going to make the playoffs this year. So you got Washington, the Islanders, Carolina, and us. Do you see the Penguins as a wild card team this year, possibly? I know it's very early.
It's too early to tell.
But I don't know.
I see them more likely as finishing in the top three.
Yeah?
It's just too early, though.
I think Washington is, again, with John Carlson, the season that he's having right now, I think they're going to probably win the division yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Ovechkin's not slowing down at all. But speaking of the Metro, today's main topic is, which teams do we think the Penguins – are the biggest rivals with. And these are not our least favorite teams at all. These are who do we think the Penguins' biggest rivals are.
Okay. All right, and so we're going to go
I'm going to rank our top five. There's three that are obvious. But, well, we'll just do we'll do the top three and then, like, others that we think are somewhat in there. And we'll start with number one. And the reason why I did this was because we played them and we whooped them 7-1, of course, is the Philadelphia Flyers is our top rival.
Yeah.
Are people – is this ever going to change, do you think? The Flyers is our number one rival.
No.
Okay.
It's just the history, like – I feel like there's just so many fights. It's just a great rivalry.
Is it just the fights that's making it a rivalry?
No, it's also the history. I mean, there's times where the Penguins and Flyers have drastically affected the other people, like other teams' seasons.
Yeah.
Coming to mind, in 2000, the Penguins and Flyers had a 5-overtime game that ended with Keith Primo it. That's just – imagine going to a game and it going to 5 overtimes and then your team losing.
I remember hearing about that game.
There's crazy. The Penguins and Flyers played in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2008. So the Penguins just annihilated them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Flyers definitely got the
2009
18 or 19 years of the Penguins losing in Philly.
Yeah.
Like never winning a game at the Spectrum, and then they finally do it. So it's just there's so much heartbreak on each side
that there is, yeah.
And the reason people say the Capitals are the number one rival, the heartbreak is all one-sided. Like up until the 2018 playoffs, the Capitals did nothing to the Penguins.
I agree.
Ever. I mean, they injured Sid in the Winter Classic, or as I like to call it, the Winter Tragic.
Yeah, but, the Winter Tragic.
But it's just
okay,
people love to live in the now when they see things, and it's just – I guess you could say right now the Capitals are a bigger rival right now, but overall –
I would disagree. Overall,
it's still the Flyers,
and it will always be the Flyers.
But I'm saying like right now it's like – if the Penguins are playing the Capitals, there's a little more importance to it.
Yeah, it's more of a two really good teams going at each other. Yeah. The Flyers are not.
But does I know it's not a good example to say because last week we beat the crap out of the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like no matter what the record is, what either team's record is, it's always a close game.
It is.
It's always an entertaining game.
Entertaining, yeah.
And they always the teams always just give it their all because they know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to change with the Flyers being the number one rival. And I've seen this multiple times. It's just the Penguins, like you said, like the Capitals are now they're the biggest rival because Ovechkin and Crosby don't hate each other. They respect each other, especially with how long they've played against each other. It's just the Capitals are a good team. The Penguins are a good team in the Metropolitan Division, and they meet each other in the playoffs every year. And that's a rivalry in itself, but it is not as big as the Penguins Flyers history when you have Ron Hextall chasing you with a stick after you score a goal on him. So there's my number two pick. I think it's both of our number two picks is the Capitals is our second biggest rival. They're definitely a solid rival for the Penguins, but if you give me like tickets to go to see Flyers Penguins or Capitals Penguins, I guess it would depend on what type of game it was. But if it's just a regular season game, I'd pick Penguins Flyers because it's just always entertaining to watch these two guys go at it. And like you said, it's not one-sided. Capitals it sort of is until
2022. There was a range of time in the early 2010s where the Penguins they had a huge winning streak against the Capitals where it was hilarious. I think it was like 3 straight seasons we swept the season series.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. I still have the Capitals as number two, though.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
They're still a big rival. But I have – so you have a top five. Mm-hmm. I only did top four. That's the only – I have four teams that I consider, like, rivals in the Penguins. Everyone else is kind of just, like, in our division. If we were – I see you have the Rangers in yours. Mm-hmm. If we were holding this, like, 3 years ago, I would have said Rangers are number two. Like, I would have
– I feel like the Rangers are
– just not right now. Like, yeah. I felt like when we played them in the playoffs 3 straight years, like – I think people – I remember – okay, so this is kind of – I don't know if this is calling anyone out. I don't think it is. But when we played the Capitals 3 straight years, everyone was like, man, we played the Capitals so much in the playoffs. Like, wow, like what a rivalry. We played the Rangers 3 straight years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody ever said that. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like nobody was ever saying how the Penguins –
same with the Blue Jackets. We played them a bunch of times.
Yeah, 2014, 2017.
2016? Did we? No.
No. But, yeah, I – The Rangers were definitely a rival of ours. I hated the Rangers. Like, I obviously hated the Flyers, but I hated the Rangers so much just because 2014, they crushed our dreams mm-hmm. with a 3-1 series comeback.
Yeah, I still think they're very, like, they're rivals, but it
the
has
history's
to do,
not really there.
It has to do with a lot with the what players are on the teams. Mm-hmm. Like, we hate Tom Wilson. We hate Claude Giroux. Yeah. I feel like the only remaining Ranger that we kind of hate is Henrik Lundqvist.
Yes.
Everyone else is gone. Mm-hmm. Or came to the Penguins, Derek Brassard, Carl Hagelin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're there. Every now and then we have a rivalry with them. And the same goes with the Blue Jackets, I guess. So I have the Blue Jackets.
I don't have them on the arms.
I have the Rangers as 4 and the Blue Jackets as 5. And we'll get to the team that I really think we need to talk about and have a discussion on, who mm-hmm. we both have as our 3rd pick. But right now the Blue Jackets, I feel like, it's
to
another
to
team.
Them,
just
we
one.
Are their number one.
Oh,
people.
Yeah.
Like
them and the Capitals.
Like, the Blue Jackets, whenever they see that they're playing the Penguins, like, the fans, when they see they're playing the Penguins, like, I got to go to that game. It's going to be, like, a rivalry.
I guess they're sort of developing a rivalry with Tampa Bay now.
Yeah. And then us, it's like we see them as, like, our little brother. It's
yeah,
like,
exactly. Jake Gensel is the mm-hmm. Blue Jackets' father. Yeah. Like, the family tree goes Sidney Crosby birthed Jake Gensel, mm-hmm. and, well, Matt Cullen birthed Sidney Crosby, and then Jake mm-hmm. Gensel was Sidney Crosby's
I think Lemieux
son.
And Cullen both had Crosby.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Like.
And so the family tree is Lemieux and Cullen make Crosby. Mm-hmm. And then Crosby is the father of Jake Gensel and the Flyers. And then Jake Gensel is the father of the Blue Jackets. That's the Penguins family tree right there.
I love the call. Gensel, goal number 3, is the game winner in game 3 on Easter. That was such a game.
I still remember where I was. I don't remember if I told you this, but I was literally at Disneyland when this happened.
Oh, yes,
I
you was did there. That. Yeah. And you got the notification.
No, I was listening to it listening in to the it, middle of the, like, the crowd walking out of this, like, Indiana Jones theme park thing, and I just, like, flipped out in the middle of it.
There's nothing better than watching, like, the Penguins win in playoff overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Because for the longest time, they did not win. Like, in 2016, that was the first year they scored their first home overtime playoff goal. At the Consol Energy Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In 2011, they lost the Lightning, and I don't know if they lost any to Lightning any home games in overtime, but just they lost so many years
Didn't
in overtime.
Did Jonas Donskoy score like the 2016?
That was in San Jose.
Oh, that was in San Jose.
But I remember it was Hornquist against the Capitals. That was probably one of the most surreal moments I've had watching hockey. I was like, I just never thought the Penguins would win in overtime at home mm-hmm. in the playoffs. Like, every time it would go to that, I'd be like, all right, well, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mean to sound, like, harsh or anything like that, but it's just something I felt. And then Hornquist did it, and then that same year, Sherry scored in overtime.
Yep.
Or Sherry then.
Didn't Russ score in overtime? Was that,
Benino.
That was, yeah, of course, Benino.
Yeah.
Didn't Russ score in Tampa Bay, though?
In overtime?
Yeah.
No.
Or was that Sherry?
Sherry was against Tampa. None of the games went to overtime in Tampa.
Really?
Game 3 was the Penguins won a regulation. Game 4. The Lightning are up 4-0, and then the Penguins scored 3 straight to make it 4-3 in the third period. They did not tie it, though. And then game 6, the Penguins, they won. I think Rust scored a late goal in
that's
that game,
maybe
though.
What it
he
was,
scored a late goal to seal it. Like, the Penguins had the lead. They were up 3-0. The Lightning in the third period scored 2 goals to make it 3-2. And then I think late in the game, Rust scored on a breakaway.
I remember Rust, I remember Rust had a big goal in one of
those
Tampa games.
Oh, yeah, and I remember, Rust was so excited. Mm-hmm. He was, the most excited I've ever seen Rust. And then in game 7... Brian Ross against Tampa. Man, I'm just having nostalgia for the 2016 run.
We should. We should do a whole episode about just both. Well, all 3 cup runs.
I love that. I love that. I mean, I love both cup runs, but the 2016 one, I will love infinitely more.
Team came out of nowhere.
What?
Team came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I will love it infinitely more than the 2017.
Yeah. Team sucked. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Sullivan came in, tore things up. Anyways, back to our rivals.
This is going to get me emotional.
Yeah. Back to our rivals. The Blue Jackets, I have as 5th.
Who do you have? We both have as 3rd.
We're going to get to this is really why I made this list. The New York Islanders need to be represented more as a big rival for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I would honestly say it's very close between them and the Capitals, if I'm going to pick one.
Well, if you have to, it's kind of the same scenario with the Capitals, except for the heartbreak is one-sided with us, because they usually just whoop us.
Yeah, we've only beaten the Islanders once in the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah, what year 2013.
Was it? Wow, yep.
They've beaten us every other year, including 1993.
And then 1975 was
it? They came back down 3-0.
I just remember being like, it was like a special club. I've never cried more as a 14-year-old kid.
My favorite line from that is when the coach is like, my pits are wet.
Yeah.
But I'll be fine when they drop the puck. Like, yeah, that.
Of course I'm nervous.
It's very tough, honestly. If the Penguins and the Capitals didn't have those playoff runs, I would probably say the Islanders.
It's still
like
yeah.
the ones that they've had recently. I would probably say the Islanders mm-hmm. would be number two.
When I first started watching hockey, I always thought the Islanders were the worst team in the league because they were at the time. Yeah. And like 2008, 2009,
very irrelevant.
Their best player was Billy Guerin or something like that. And then he came to the Penguins. They were awful. Like they had the first overall pick. They got mm-hmm. Tavares.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened with him though. And yeah, I just felt like the Islanders were such of a joke franchise. And then mm-hmm.
they've been pesky.
And then I've learned about their history and like what they've done to the Penguins in the past in 94 or 93 and then 74 and 2018 now. Mm-hmm.
But the Islanders, it's, you know how I said like the Capitals were bad and we just demolished them all the time in the early mm-hmm. 2010s.
Yeah.
The Islanders have always been really pesky. Like even if they're bad, they still find ways to beat us.
Yeah.
It's like,
what wasn't in like the 74 series? They were like, weren't we like the top seed or something?
I have no idea.
Or no, it was the 93 series. We were obviously favored. One of the
best.
To win.
Honestly, probably the best team in NHL history.
To never win a cup.
Yeah, just in general. Like yeah. the Penguins were so good
that
year.
We were stacked that year.
Yeah, they should have won the cup, and you know what happened. The Islanders winning game 7 at the Mellon Arena mm-hmm. in overtime. And only,
I feel like fights do have, well, I mean, they do, they have a very important, like, part of, like, a rivalry. Like, the more fights you think of, the more rivalries there are.
Do you know
the
infamous game?
The only fight that I can think of against the Penguins Islanders in, like, recent memory is Brent Johnson just absolutely demolishing Rick Greasy.
That was, like, February 2nd, 2011.
It's like, 2010 or something. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, and then it may have been 2011 or 2010. And then February 11th, 2010, they call it, like, the fight night or something like that. The Islanders win it 9-4. But that's not the thing. Mm-hmm. That's not like the crazy thing. It's like the record for the most penalty minutes in one game. So many fights in
against
that game.
With the Penguins?
Yes, Penguins Islanders. You need to watch the highlights of it after we do this.
Was Matt Cook like in
He might have been.
I might have vaguely remember that.
I want to look it up because I can tell you like how many like penalty minutes there were. Yeah, if you Google Penguins Islanders, the first thing that comes up is Penguins Islanders Brawl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
February 11th, 2011.
I probably don't remember. I mean, I was.
There's a Wikipedia page for this night.
Really?
Yes, the Penguins Islanders Brawl. Let me look it up. There's a total of 346 penalty minutes in the game. The final score is 9-3, not 9-4. But.
Islanders or Penguins?
Islanders. They crushed us. We were in New York.
Okay.
15 fighting majors, 21 game misconducts, so many fights. I'm assuming that this had something to do with the fight between Brent Johnson and Rick DiPietro.
I don't know if it was the same game.
It was not the same game, but it was.
Well, you got to think of some of the players in both of those rosters. You got Matt Cook. Was Englund a Penguin then? What year was it?
2011. The Rick DiPietro and Brent Johnson fight was February 2nd. This was February 11th. So this was like 9 days after. There was so much, like, I'm sure the Islanders were like very angry mm-hmm. and
yeah.
just crazy game.
Another thing that like the Penguins like have with their rivals is players getting injured and Sidney Crosby getting injured against them. Obviously the first concussion happened against the Capitals. Crosby's been injured a lot against the Islanders. He's been hit in the face with a couple pucks against them. His comeback game was against the Islanders where he absolutely had one of his best goals of his career, probably the best goal of his career. So I feel like that has another layer to the rivalry. It's just another factor. So I don't know. Why aren't the Islanders considered a big rival? I just don't know.
I think they are. It's just people don't look at them like they see the Capitals.
Yeah.
Like, or the Flyers. Like, it's not, if the Penguins are playing the Islanders, it's not like, oh, it's rivalry night. But it should be.
It should be. A couple teams I want to point out here that are not rivals, and people need to just stop thinking that they are rivals. Nashville, Pittsburgh, we went to the finals once against them. Crosby doesn't like Subban. Who cares?
I don't think the Penguins have a single really big Western Conference rival.
Really?
Like, I maybe would have said Detroit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If this was, like, 10 years ago and the Red Wings were still in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago and Pittsburgh, those are some pretty good games, but I wouldn't say it's rivalry.
That was the final we never got to see, and I'm very sad that we never got to see it.
It's not 1992, but it's not the...
I mean, yeah. Those were the two best teams from 2010 to 2015 era.
2013 should have been the year.
And, yeah, it should have been the year where we met the Blackhawks mm-hmm. in the final. Yeah, it... It, it because I hated the Blackhawks then. And like we said, these are the rivals, our favorite rival, or the biggest rivals of the Penguins, not the teams we hate the most. If these are the teams we hated the most, Chicago would be up there for me because I've always hated them just because, honestly, they're good. And they're, like, they had just so many winning teams. Like, I never liked Taze. I still don't like Taze. And I just think that that rivalry could have been something, possibly. So, yeah. Also another team that I just think is not a rival is Vegas. I know there's the Fleury connection, but it's not Vegas. Or it's not a rivalry on another team, Edmonton, just because McDavid is...
Player rivalries.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Penguins Oilers, I would love to watch that game. It just doesn't mean they're a rival. Other than my top four teams that I listed, I would not say there's really any other big rivals.
Yeah.
I would say that if we're talking about teams I hate the Islanders more than the Capitals.
Really?
But I still view the Capitals as a bigger rival than New York.
Who is your least favorite team after the Flyers and
Boston?
Islanders and Capitals.
It's always been Boston. I'm not just saying that because last night. I have hated Boston since they swept us in 2013.
Yeah, that's another team that I look at as, well, it's kind of a rival, but it's not really a rival because if you think of Boston's rivals, the Penguins are like seventh on that list. You have Montreal. You have Toronto.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, I would even say.
Even Tampa,
they're a pretty big rival there.
And yeah, the Penguins are down there. Rangers.
Rangers are a good rival.
They're an original six team, and you can't just butt in on original six teams and all the rivalries they've had for plus 50 years before you were even in existence.
I just hate Boston.
Yeah, me too. I hate Boston too. But I do respect a lot of the players I have. I've never not liked Patrice Bergeron. I just think he's a phenomenal player, and I think, like, it's kind of weird how I just hate everyone else on Boston except for Bergeron. I just love Bergeron. I would love to have him on my team. So a couple league-wide topics here before we wrap things up. We have a quiz, and we'll do this, and then we'll throw it until next week. The quiz is pretty simple. Name every Penguin that scored against the Flyers.
Okay. All right, this is so easy. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yes. Schultz scored the first goal.
Yep.
Second goal was McCann.
Yep.
Third goal was that wasn't Sid yet. That was Simone. Third goal was Simone. Fourth goal was Sid.
Yep.
Fifth goal
What happened after that? What did all four of those goals have in common?
They're in the first period.
All in the first period, baby.
And then the second period,
You have to get them in order.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know that there's the one that Asterisk tipped in, but first there was the Gensel.
Gensel
scored the lucky goal.
All right, so you won.
And then, Asterisk and then...
And then Gahan?
I'm sorry, it was just the... You know me, I remember, like, everything about games I go to.
I'll quiz you on something else that I just thought of. There was a trade the other day. We talked about it in the group chat. What was the trade?
With the Penguins?
No. It was not the Penguins. It was between the Devils and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I have, like, no idea. I can't even give you a guess.
The New Jersey Devils acquired Louis Domingue in exchange for a 2021 conditional seventh-round pick.
I did see Domingue got traded, but I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the Devils one of these days and what's going on with them. We're also going to talk about the Sabres and the Oilers. Are they teams that we should be scared about, or are they good? Like, I don't know.
Who do you think has better odds of keeping it going?
Oilers. Because they're in the Pacific. They're in the Pacific, and anything can happen in the Pacific. Look what the Ducks are doing right now. The Ducks might make the playoffs.
Which is embarrassing, because I picked them to be the worst in the NHL.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. But yeah, the Pacific is so bad, and the Sharks are so bad this year for some reason. We'll talk about the Stars and the Sharks, who are just awful this year.
Worst team in the NHL. And I picked them to win the division.
So the Sharks?
Yes, they're the worst. They're the worst in the West.
The worst, yeah, because you got Detroit and Ottawa. But no, I don't know what's going on with the Pacific.
They're tied with Detroit.
What is Edmonton's record right now?
Edmonton is 10-4-2.
10-4-2. Wow.
So you can't even be mad that they beat us.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got James Neal back. He's probably going to score at least 25 goals this year, which is crazy.
Oh, he'll score 30.
Yeah?
Like, even if he slows down at this point, he'll still score 30.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll talk about that next week. The teams that we think are we need to get a read on. Are they good? Are they not? But as of right now, we'll wrap things up. The Penguins play Thursday against the Islanders, I believe. That's again on the road. And then when are they back home? They're back home sometime soon. I don't remember. Are you looking it up right now?
No.
No.
Well, our next game?
Our next game is against the Islanders Thursday.
Our next game, we play Saturday at home.
Against who?
I don't know, but I know that I'm missing it.
Okay. Well, anyways, we'll keep you guys updated on what the Penguins do this week, who gets injured this week. Thank you all for tuning in.
You got to watch your homework is to watch the highlights of that game. Okay. Islanders, cause it's...
I know for a fact I've seen it. I just don't remember it. But yeah, be sure to check in with Army Century Media, Steel City Films, and Pittsburgh Sports Castle. We'll catch you guys next weekend. Thank you all for tuning in. Patrick Hornquist is making too much money.